Welcome to the Diary of a Daddy-O podcast, brought to you by myself, David Powell. On this podcast, I'll be talking to a number of daddy-os who are trying to juggle their respective jobs and ever-growing duties as a father. We will be discussing the ups, the downs, and everything in between. We want you to come along on the ride with us. So without further ado, welcome to the Diary of a Daddy-O.
This is a diary pod about how work routines flip, turn upside down, and we'd like to take a second to let you know how we juggle being a dad while being a CEO. Daddy-o.
Welcome to A Diary of a Daddy-o. We're on episode 12. This is the last one before we take a break for series 2. I'm joined by Adam Toon, the CEO, owner of a company called Urban Things. I'm going to hand it straight over to Adam to give us a quick overview of yourself, your company, and your current daddy-o lifestyle. So over to you, mate.
Yeah, cheers. Thank you. Privileged to be on episode 12 before the season finishes. I didn't realise that. Thank you. Adam Toon. I am the CEO of Urban Things, and we effectively try to make public transport accessible, simple. So we work with a lot of local authorities and a lot of transport operators to provide digital solutions in apps, websites. So when you're doing your journey planning, trying to understand how do you get from A to B, or whether you're stood at a bus stop or a railway station and you want to understand when's your kind of bus or train coming, we provide that data. So prior to that, I've been at various other companies, Coca-Cola, KP Snacks, Bounce Foods, Arriva, ventured into being a CEO, which is good fun, and like you say, we're on here for a reason, which is family and children. It's a busy life, and I've got quite a good story. I think my mine's a little bit unorthodox as well. In terms of my family, we're a made up family of kind of stepkids as well as my own as well. So it's quite a good story.
Superb. Well, I guess just before we jump into the family side of things, how did you become the CEO of Urban Things? How long ago did that you make that transition to that role?
Yeah, so I moved first into the transport industry, what will be nearly 6 years ago now. At Arriva, and had a number of roles at Arriva, leading business units through to the entire digital and IT strategy for UK Bus. At the same time, because I was looking after our app and website at Arriva, we were working with a supplier that we ended up being quite close to, and that supplier actually reached out to me through a different channel to say, would you come and run one of our businesses for us? And lo and behold, that's where I ended up at Urban Things, who are owned by Paragon ID, that are a large technology company that specialize in printing, whether it be kind of the orange tickets that you get when you get on a train through to passports, cards, etc. And they're part of Grenadier Holdings, which is a large organization with many businesses and strands to it.
So Urban Things itself as the business, is that a paid service for an end user, or is it a free to use service?
So we've got two business models. We have a B2C model, which is a bit of a legacy product, but still really utilized. So we have over 100,000 people on a daily basis using that product, and that's called Bus Checker. We've got bus checkers in various locations from Santiago, New York, London, and then we have a UK bus checker. And our business model there is it's a free service for the user, but we put Google ads into there to get some cash in from that service to be able to continue to, one, maintain it and service it, but also to upgrade it and improve that customer journey. We then have a B2B model, which is we work with the operators and local authorities, as I said, and that is a paid service that the local authority would pay us to deploy with them in their branding an app and a website. So a prime example would be someone like Ipswich Buses, who use our app. We're about to launch our website with them at the end of this month. So we're busy in that development and deployment. And it's all branded Ipswich. You wouldn't necessarily know that it was Urban Things that was underpinning it, but we provide that kind of white label solution.
How long ago did you join? Sorry.
10 months ago. Yeah, 10 months ago.
10 months ago. So, and I guess it's a good time to jump into sort of your family setup. And I know you said the unorthodox, like stepkids and your own kids. Could you want to run us through exactly your unorthodox setup at the moment?
Yeah, sure. So we have a really good tight family, which is really good. But I guess we've been on a journey to get here. So me and my partner met just over 2 years ago. And when I met her, she had two children from a prior relationship. And at the time, I think they were 1 and 5. I think it must have been. Yeah, 1 and 5. So relatively young. And I guess if you skip forward, I went from being a kind of caring about myself and my career, and that's all I had to think about. I got up when I wanted, kind of 6 a.m., 7 a.m., and I jumped on my laptop and I worked through till when I finished late at night. And I guess overnight that changed, where actually I was being woken up at 5 o'clock and I was being jumped on, and then I was doing a nursery run and trying to balance everything. So that's been a really good journey, really interesting, crazy, in that one day I wasn't, one day I was almost kind of a stepdad. But kind of really kind of oldest one's Trent. Trent's now 7, and the middle child now is Bodhi, who is 3. So yeah, built really good relationships with them both. Love spending time with them. Hopefully they love spending time with me. I think they do. I think I'm like their little best mate. And it's really, really good fun. And balancing that with work was challenging to start with, and still is challenging on days, as I'm sure you and all your listeners kind of know. Trying to balance school runs, because mum works still. Kind of, she's got to go and travel, therefore I've got to do it. My diary's jam-packed, and I think we live our lives through our calendar on a Monday to Friday, and just who's doing what. But then we also had our child together. So Mason was born January last year. So he's just gone 1. He gave us a bit of a shock. He was 8 weeks early. Pretty scary. And when me and my partner, Nick, we met, she was living in Manchester. I was living in Leicester. So we were commuting to see each other a lot. And the work allowed that, to be fair. We both worked in the same companies and we both kind of worked together at the various parts. So we managed to kind of see each other quite a lot. But we had to at some point make a decision of where were we going to move. We decided to move up to Manchester. She was pregnant. And thankfully, we found somewhere quick enough and early enough, because we ended up having Mason 8 weeks early, and we'd only just moved into the place we're in now, kind of I think 2 weeks before that. So it was scary times.
So new job, relocation, new baby, all within the space of what sounds like an 8 to 10 month period.
Yeah,
that's pretty hectic. And then you're still smiling, you don't have any gray hair either, which is very impressive.
Yeah, as I always say, I'm living the dream. Whether it's my dream, I won't answer, but I'm certainly living a dream. But no, it's good fun. I've always been very kind of work focused and heavy, so that's still very much kind of at my core values. I'm a workhorse, but at the same time, I try to make sure, and I guess ultimately book my calendar out to make sure that I can spend time with the boys, because they're all only going to be young for so long. And it's like, it's that crazy stat around kind of, by the time your kids are 13, you've spent the majority of the time that you'll spend with them. I think it's like a silly, like 80% or something, 70%. It's mad. Like, and I guess for me, that's really important, because I remember being a kid myself and kind of spending time with my parents and grandparents. that was incredible. They were the best times of your childhood that you remember. And I want to make sure that they've got that kind of experiences. So I make sure I take time out in my diary. Yesterday, for example, booked half a day off and we went to the cinema. Really easy to do, but also it's really easy not to do it. And it's easy to just say, actually, no, I can't do that because I'm busy at work. I'm going to do a call. But I always think that kind of, and I try and build this culture within the kind of in my business as well, which is kind of no one's going to remember if you take half a day off, but your family, your kids really are going to remember that you took half a day off and you spent that with them doing whatever it may be. It doesn't need to have money involved. It could just be going for a walk in the park with a football, but they will remember it.
Absolutely. I've said this quite a few times now. It's like one of my biggest fears is for Brody, obviously he's my only child, to look back and think, oh, dad was on his phone too much, or those sort of, you see the pictures of like the impact that can have on a kid seeing a phone always in your hand, whereas if you go out into the garden, leave your phone in the house, play with just Brody, be fully present. It's better being fully present for half an hour than in and out of the kitchen with your phone for 2 hours. And they like you will remember that in the future, of like the quality time you spent with yourself, grandparents, like you said. But then ultimately it's a balancing act of when they do grow up and they sort of start their own careers, they'll look back and think, blimey, heck, my dad was successful. He was really driven. He was focused. He was really like, he had his values going across from being a parent to a boss. And you respect that as well. Cause I know from my position, my dad did like 35 years in the bank, and like just that headline alone, it's like the commitment to be 35 years working for an employer, dedicated, committed, loyal, those sort of things that cross over and think, well, actually that's a characteristic that I really respect now as I'm a bit older, that you maybe wouldn't when you're sub 10 years older before you become a teenager. So it's just all about a balancing act. And the more I do these podcasts and speak to people like yourself, they're so intertwined between being a businessman, an employee, a boss, and then being a dad or a parent. The values and everything crosses across so fluidly, but you don't really think about it or notice it until you start having a conversation. Like you said there, that you're telling people within your business, look, if you need to take half a day off to go be with your family, I'm not going to remember that in 12 months time, but your kids will. And it's like giving them that freedom. You give your staff a little bit of freedom, you've got to give your children a bit of freedom to make mistakes and learn and things like that. So
exactly. And I know kind of personally that if I go and, like yesterday, a prime example, I went and spent that morning with the kids. We went and had fun. And then when I came back to work, I just felt that little bit more kind of ready to go. I was pumped up for the day, even though I'd been doing something kind of that I could have said, oh, I want to do that for the rest of the day. I knew I couldn't. Mm-hmm. I had commitments that I needed to do, but I genuinely felt kind of pumped up for the day, ready to go, kind of eager, more productive. And I think it's really important. And I think that kind of flexibility and working full stop and kind of that hybrid lifestyle that's now kind of, I guess, expected since COVID, I think it's really important, because I think it does kind of, if you do those little things that through your day and make your day a little bit more flexible, I genuinely think you get more out of people anyway. So I think, it's really important. And if that's spending time with your family, you've got to do it. That is so important for me. And I think it should be so important for others.
Yeah. I think people always say, do your most important task of the day first. And like, if your mindset is the most important task of the day is spending time with my children and being present, then like you said, you've come out of that important task. Sorry for calling it task, but that important part of your day is going to cinema with my kids, enjoying it. You come into work and you're so much more focused, rather than spend the morning doing work, trying to rush it through, thinking, oh, I'm going to see the kids later. And then that becomes, oh, I've got to go see the kids now because I promised them, but I haven't finished work. Just flipping it around has really been a massive benefit to you, that you've gone into work buzzing because you've had such a good day in the morning, and you've probably done more work in the afternoon than you would have done in the morning if you were waiting to go see your kids in the afternoon. So
mega.
So I guess moving forward then, you're currently in Manchester. You moved there a year and a bit ago. How do you balance your work life versus being at home? Do you flex between working at home and then working in an office? And how do you put sort of, I know you've just said there's very flexible and fluid work-life balance, but do you put anything in place to say, when I do need to go into flow, real deep work moment, what boundaries do you put in place, if any?
Yeah, definitely. So we have a kind of the company policy that I've set is that we're all in the office one day a week, and that's Monday. It's down in London, so it's a long day. Certainly for me, I leave the house at just before 5. I get home just after 11, so it's a day of not seeing the kids. So for me, it's a really important day because I want to make sure that I get absolutely everything out of that day that I possibly can. Otherwise, I don't want to go down there, not have the best day, come back, not seeing the kids at all. And it's like, why did I bother? So try to have a really productive kind of Monday all together as a team. And then I guess my week kind of starts in that hybrid fashion where I'm either out and about for probably a day of those 4 days, Tuesday to Friday, whether that be with customers, whether it be with other kind of experienced leaders that I'm trying to learn from, or whether it be just kind of going out to a new location where they've just deployed something new, digital tech that I want to go and see how it works and operates. And then other than that, I'm typically at home. I think if I wasn't necessarily so far away from the office, I'd probably try and do a little bit more in the office. And I do stay over down in London probably every other month. I try and stay over. I might try and up that next year a little bit more as the kids get a little bit older. I might try and do that because I do like being in the office, being in the hustle and bustle. But at the moment, it works well for us. And then I guess kind of on a day-to-day basis when I'm at home, clearly I'm on some quite important calls where I do need a little bit of quiet when possible. And albeit there's nothing wrong, I don't find them there anything wrong with my door opens and I have a little one walk and kind of want to sit on my lap or play something down by the side of me. So I'm not like, oh no, don't do it. I think it's quite nice and a bit of an icebreaker sometimes as well. Everyone's pretty open to it nowadays. But there are times where I can't have that happen because I've got to be kind of fully 100% engaged, attention, and can't be thrown off. And you can see under my little door handle just here, there's a little lock so I can put, so the handle can't be pulled down. There is one on the other side as well so that kids can't get in here sometimes when there's things on the floor. But I'm sure one day they'll grow up old enough and understand that if they do that, I can't get out. But we'll cross that bridge when I get to it. But I think as well, whilst I can manage my time as best as I can and I can lock the door, etc., that's only a small part of it in reality. The other half, and probably more than half at the moment, is my partner that supports me fantastically and absolutely back her as well. But we're probably in a place where I've taken on this new role kind of 10 months ago, we're probably a little bit swung my way in terms of kind of making sure things are right. So, and I think that for any couple, partnership, marriage, whatever you want to call it, I think that's really important that it's hardly ever a 50-50 split in kind of whether it's responsibility in the household, looking after the kids, day-to-day activity. It's never really 50-50. It swings, and that may swing for a day, an hour, when she wants to go to the gym for a few hours, or it may swing kind of the other way for longer, i.e. 10 months, because a new job, career progression, that investment into making sure that person can kind of be 80% kind of focused on that rather than the home, kind of whether it's dinners, lunches, whatever it may be. I think that has to happen. So yeah, I can control my bit so much, but I couldn't do it without a partner by my side that is wanting me, driving me, allowing me, and kind of all of the good kind of things that you want from a partner to go and succeed. And I want to return that in some way, shape or form, kind of on a daily basis, whether that be making cups of tea for her, whether that's kind of being like, right, you go to the gym, I'll take the kids for a couple of hours, we'll get out your hair, we'll go and do something. But also in the future when it's her time to kind of do what kind of more so what she wants to do and drive and progress, and she needs that little bit more time, then I know that, and I want to kind of give her kind of that returned back to her as well.
Big news. We've decided to partner up with a charity called Winston's Wish. They were the first UK's child bereavement charity and have been supporting grieving children and young people for 30 years. The Diary of a Daddy-O would like to help them on their way in providing the much-needed money to help provide specialist child bereavement support services across the UK. To donate, visit our Just Giving page, www.justgiving.com/Diary of a Daddy-O, or click the link in our description below. Now back to the podcast. It's really interesting there where you said about like really important having a partner that's pushing you and being supportive and doing everything for you to allow you to succeed. That's exactly what a good boss does. It's exactly what a good co-founder or business owner needs as well. Is there's obviously businesses out there where someone's made it on their own and they're quite single-minded, but often you need the support of a co-founder or an executive director, someone to really support you. And it is exactly the same in the household as well. If you've got a partner that's, I can't talk from experience, but someone who's, what's the right word? Not reluctant, but frustrated that you're going and doing certain things and they're a bit angry about it and stuff, that it's not going to work. You'll quickly, things will unravel. Whereas if you've got a partner, like you said, that your partner's really happy to help, support, be there with you, allow you to go do your stuff. It's exactly the same in business, that if there's issues at boardroom level or even within the culture of the staff, it causes problems, doesn't it? And that you won't succeed how you want.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Yeah. And like you say, in business, it's so important that kind of you match strengths to create kind of the best environment to grow and nurture a business. It's exactly that at home. Kind of we've got to be a partnership. We have to decide things together, whether that's from kind of how we deal with the kids' behavior and kind of our tolerance of kind of they're going to get up to things. What's our tolerance of that, through to kind of the decisions of kind of who's going to be kind of pushing that little bit more at work and kind of driving forward a little bit more. Kind of, yeah, so important. And we've got that nailed down to a T at the moment. I'm sure there's things that we can improve on, and we will, and we'll learn as we kind of grow older. But right now, kind of, that's one thing we always kind of say, kind of, we're good, aren't we? And it's not we're good in that kind of we're not arguing or kind of whatever. It's we're doing really well here, and the best we can for our kids, for our work life, for our kind of work life balance life that we want, because we want the nicer things in life. I'm pretty money driven, so we want the nicer things in life, but we deal with it really well.
So Trent 7, you said, didn't you? Is he now in, is that first school age?
Yeah, so he's year two. Yeah. He's year two, Bodie 3, and he's in his kind of last little bit of kind of private nursery. So he'll go into a school nursery. I think it's from September. He'll go in there. And then Mason's 1 in a couple of months, and he's in nursery as well. They don't go nursery full time just because it costs so much money. It's crazy. So Mason goes to nursery 4 days a week, and Bodie goes 3 days a week. And then my partner actually works a 5 day and four. So she works a little bit longer hours every day and manages to have her Friday off, which is good, or most of her Friday off. So she has kind of the Friday to be with the kids all day.
How did you guys handle, like, the, you both work for the same company right now, or was that previously?
We used to. We were both at Arriva together.
Okay. So when Mason was born a year ago, how did you guys manage and deal with maternity and paternity? What was the set? What did you guys have there? And have you changed anything in urban things when you came in? Or
so we were both at Arriva when we had Mason. And like I said, early as well. So we went to bed on a Friday night. We didn't quite make it to bed. Things started to happen. And by Sunday we had a baby. So we were meant to be going back to work Monday, and we were still going to be at work Nick was going to be at work for another, I think it was 4 weeks. I was going to be at work for hopefully another 4 weeks, and then I'd be off. So that threw things in the air quite a lot. And like I mentioned earlier, I'm pretty work focused, so I find it quite difficult to switch off. I'm not perfect by any means, for sure. So I was in hospital. We were in hospital. I think we lived in hospital pretty much for 4 weeks when he was born. He was 3 pounds something when he was born in an incubator, breathing alone. I'd add, so right. which is good. But amazing. He was still very small, tiny. He could fit on my hand, which was scary. So I didn't take as much time off as I probably should have done. And on reflection, I probably should have taken longer to actually stop, down tools, hand over, etc. But it kind of got to that point where I think I was almost naive that we'll get out of hospital next week and kind of it'll be fine and everything will be normal. So I won't bother handing everything off to my team. I'll just carry on kind of doing my little bits. I'll step out of kind of the meetings I don't need to, prioritize, delegate, et cetera, et cetera. The reality was 4 weeks later, I was still saying that. And we then managed to get home. But Arriva were really good. My boss was fantastic. Nick's boss was amazing. Kind of they didn't expect us to be doing what I was doing and kind of wanted me to take more time, and they wanted pictures, which makes you feel excited because you're a new kind of new dad, new baby. So yeah, they were really good. But to the point around kind of what have we done then coming into my new business, to be fair, I haven't actually done anything kind of in terms of process yet, but I think for me it will be a case of when these things do happen, we're still quite a relatively small team. We're 13 people, 12 people. So relatively small team. When these things do arise and the team kind of end up in these positions, and I can't wait for them to start being in these positions, it will absolutely come into that kind of thought pattern. And kind of it will be like, even though I'm not good at kind of stopping and stop working, like I'm the one that's always on his emails over holiday, I'm still replying to things, I'm on the balcony with this kind of the beach behind me on a Teams call, whatever it may be, I'm quite strict with my team and saying I don't expect you to be online, I don't want you to be online, I'm going to be annoyed if you are online because I need you to go and relax, come back rejuvenated, ready to go, firing on all cylinders. So when those times do arise, I think that will be when we start to kind of not put formal policy in place, but we're very much kind of look, no, go, disappear. You need to go focus and concentrate because that is the most important thing right now in your life.
Absolutely, absolutely. I've heard from a few different people that there's quite a varying contrast of what's out there for, especially from the male side of things on what's expected, or maybe like you said, that a lot of companies don't really have anything in place because they're quite small and they haven't come across the scenario yet. And it's like, well, actually we haven't had to deal with it yet. And then is it an afterthought? Is it something that if there's an owner like yourself who's been through it will be probably a lot more not lenient, but a lot more empathetic to the situation and actually want people to go and enjoy it rather than, I had someone on the podcast really early on in this series who was back in work the next day. And now he said, I look back at it now and it's one of my biggest regrets is like, I should have just been like, he didn't even ask about paternity. He just said, I went back to work. So he just assumed that was the case when really you shouldn't be assuming. You should be saying from the boss, you've got 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever it may be. Do not touch your phone. Do not touch your laptop. This is, you're never going to get this time ever again in your life, whether that be a first child or a second child, you're never going to have a first or a second child again. So you have to be fully present in it, don't you? And it's definitely a hot topic. I mean, I'm just interested to hear what varying companies are doing about it and whether it's changing. Because obviously, when I was running 3 or 4 clothing, we were all early 20s, so we didn't have anything in place either, and no one had a child while we were in the business, so it never became a topic to think about. But now, this stage of my life with Brody being 16 months old, it'd probably be one of the first things I think about, and I want to make sure that everyone can experience what I got to experience when we had Brody 2 years ago now.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's so important. Like you say, you will never get that time back. You will never experience that again. Therefore, you have got to be so kind of present. And when we were actually in hospital, obviously we were in like the incubator, and it sounds awful, but there's like 4 incubators all together and there's like special measures. So there's always someone there, but you've got people coming and going. You've got some people that are staying there kind of all day. And you start to obviously kind of chat to some of these people. And I remember being sat there and there was a couple next to us and they were talking and they were saying about kind of, he's had to go back to work. Kind of the baby was born the day before in an incubator, kind of however early the baby was, but he was back, and I think he worked at Heinz, which is a factory near here, and he was on the picking line, and next day he had to be back in work. Paternity thing wasn't a thing, so he was trying to come in and visit kind of his new baby. It was his first. At the same time, he was trying to kind of go to work and do a good job, and was scared about ever losing his job. But you just think, kind of, even though it's a hospital, it's not a nice experience, it's not kind of what you want, but you want to be there. And me and Nick, once Nick was released and kind of could leave hospital and discharged, we try to be there as much as possible. Living in a hospital when you don't have your own room and bed is really difficult. And we just try and take it in a bit of a kind of almost shifts. So she'd do the morning. I'd be able to get a load of work done at home. I'd sort the other boys out because they were still with us, take them to school and then do a bit of work. And then I'd go and do an evening shift. So we split it up, and we were really fortunate. And that's where I think, kind of, I mentioned Arriva were really supportive for me. They really were in that sense, in that kind of they were very much kind of do what you need to do. But like you say, no, I don't think many businesses do think about, well, what if that baby is in hospital for the 2 weeks paternity or the 4 weeks of paternity? Because the whole point for me, I think paternity is about helping your family embed into being at home. It's not about living in a hospital. So that's one thing I did miss, which kind of by the time we got home, which was 4 or 5 weeks later, I was well out of the mode of paternity. I was back at work. I was back in it. So I was at home, sat on my computer, and I'd hear kind of Nick saying, right, I'm just going for a nice, I'm going for a walk for a few hours. And it was summer. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, like,
yeah.
But that's what paternity for me should have been about, kind of going out for nice walks, going, grabbing lunch together, and kind of being with Mason at that kind of those really early ages. And it is a shame that I missed out on that I do kind of not regret, because I don't necessarily believe in regret. I made the decisions which were right at the time, but I do think, oh, that would have been really nice to be able to do that kind of family embedding kind of together.
It's your story. It's your journey. Like you said, you should never, or try not to regret, because your scenario is your story, isn't it? And it sounds like you're having a great time, like you said. You mentioned that your wife goes to the gym, you take the boys away, you go look after yourself, your mental well-being and physical and everything like that. Is there anything that you do, or you have like a non-negotiable that you say, this is the time where I'm not a boss and I'm not a dad, I am Adam, and this is what I do, whether it be for 10 minutes, an hour, or half a day?
Yeah, so wife-to-be. We get married in October year. No, that's fine. It's fine.
Congratulations.
Yeah, wife to be. So that's October. But yeah, so in terms of personal time, there definitely is. So my non-negotiable is tennis. So I used to always play football. I'm old now. My body's older than I am physically. So I've moved to tennis, and I used to play when I was younger at quite a good level. So I play up here in a good standard. And that's my non-negotiable. So in the calendar, our family calendar, kind of every Thursday, every Tuesday, kind of the evening, they're blocked out, and I go and play our tennis matches. So that is my non-negotiable. The other one would be going to the gym. So I go to the gym most days, but I try, and that's more of I want to go, but I will be as flexible as I need to be to go. And to be fair, the reason I do the kind of gym being more flexible is that when I'm going to the gym, I'm not great with my phone. I still pick it up. I still read emails. I still go onto my to-do list. I still kind of, I'm not 100% there. I used to be very much kind of, I'm in the gym, phone away, off I go. Probably the last 5 years, I'm a little bit less interested, and it's more of a, I know I need to do it. So I still pick up my phone. Whereas tennis, I'm very much kind of, my phone's in my bag. I'll speak to someone in a couple of hours when I pick up my phone again. So that's why that one ends up being my non-negotiable. It's actually a time where I don't think about anything else. I'm there and I play tennis. Yeah, gym, a bit more flexible.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I'm the same. When I go to the gym, my phone's in my hand as soon as I finish a set or I finish something. I'm looking on it, whether it be, even if it's just scrolling through socials or emails, or whatever, it's always a case. Whereas I go swimming, not as much as probably I did pre-Brody, but I like to go swimming for the reason that I can't physically touch my phone. It's in the changing rooms because you can't be on your phone. So you're completely in your own space. You're in your own head, you go in the sauna and you get to either decompress or sort of just think about things that you need to when, if your phone's around you, you're not thinking about. So that's what I try to do. I'm trying to be a bit better about it again now that Brody's a little bit older. But we'll finish this off, mate, if you don't mind, with just a couple of quick fire questions. I've not done this before, so bear with me. if there's something comes out of it interesting, maybe we'll look back in it before we finish. But right, what is harder, being a dad or being a CEO?
Being a dad.
Early morning worker or late night worker?
I'm both, but if I had to choose one, I don't really sleep too much, but I would say nighttime is my productivity.
Okay.
Session.
What's harder, toddler phase or baby phase?
Toddler phase.
Football or rugby?
Football.
Football or tennis?
Tennis.
Bluey or Peppa Pig?
Peppa Pig.
Work at home or work at the office?
Work at home.
And that's it, mate. You passed. Flying colours.
Cool.
Thank you very much for coming on, mate. Really appreciate it. And thanks for sharing your story with everyone. I'll tag everything in the descriptions and on socials. You'll be able to find Adam. And yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. And thanks again, Adam, for coming on.
Brilliant. Cheers. Thanks for your time. A work-life balance, so hard to do while juggling a business and date nights too. But life goes on, so what baby we got? Now I'm trying to juggle work while feeding baby that bop. I deal with one dirty nappy and turn my back and hear 101 messages pinging through Slack. Sleep deprivation, you can see it in my eyes. As I hop on Google Meets, I hear the baby starts crying. So I mute and shout to mom, you okay in that ear? She says, get on with your work, we'll be okay in here. I wash up the bottles around 8 or 9. By the time I'm in my office, sometimes it's lunchtime. Looked at my partner, said, one day I'll know how to juggle my new life as a successful daddy-o.